You're listening to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide with Bart Zandbergen, your distinguished host and certified financial planner.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I'm your host, Bart Zandbergen. Paul, I have to tell you.
Yes, yes.
I'm feeling a little bit almost, I don't know, maybe a little inadequate today.
Inadequate? You yeah. Never.
Well, I have, you know, in studio today, I have my business partner, my co-host, my Robin to my Batman, and I've been hearing all sorts of feedback that she's doing a really good job.
She wasn't sure she was going to let you back in. That was really it. We were all kind of just going to kind of politely say maybe Bart should stay home and we'll just let Letitia take over this year.
No.
There goes my feeling of security.
No, we need you here. We need you.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm happy to be here and happy to have Letitia with me today. Letitia, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for the invite. I appreciate it. Hopefully, I keep on getting invites.
All right. So today we have in store kind of our, for those old enough apparently to remember the name, it's called our mailbag edition.
Right. I was stunned that Letitia, I know she's of a younger generation than I am here, didn't know that mailmen used to carry a bag over their shoulder. Was this a revelation to you that they didn't all drive up in a truck way back when? They walked from door to door with a bag of mail like Santa?
I'm sure they did. I just don't remember it.
But before we get to the questions, I know that Letitia wants to help make a couple of announcements. So, Letitia, I'm going to let you take it away.
Yeah, so we wanted to announce one thing. First and foremost, we're really excited that we're now on iTunes.
Yay!
So, whoever's watching us.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to try and play the applause here.
Go ahead. We love applause.
Yay.
So fun. So if you're listening live or recorded and you have an iPhone, you need to make sure that you go in and then you go into your settings and you go and find the app that says podcast. Mine is purple. And then you go in there and then you like us and then you subscribe and then you start listening to us all the time. So between, you know, doing your errands, you want to get some new fresh ideas and financial advice, we're here for you.
And if we can get, I'll tell you one other thing that helps for those, seriously, if you want to help this show out and get a higher profile, a few likes on the iTunes store for this podcast will have amazing results because so few people take the time to actually make a comment or make a recommendation that if you do, iTunes shoots you to the top of the What's Trending chart. So it's very easy to move up if you just get people to take a little action and support us.
So if you guys can see behind us, this is our logo. It says the Zandbergen Report, Wealth Strategies and Investment Wisdom. So if you can see this right behind us, please, this is the logo, or you can search us, but we definitely want some likes. I know that we're doing a little self-promotion here. It's rare, but it's so important.
Well,
so
share this information because we all want these shows to succeed. We all want to find an audience for them here. And there's so much good stuff you guys are doing, it would be a shame to keep it to yourself. So, you know, do not just us, but yourself and your friends a favor and share it with them and like it so that more can find it.
Awesome. Hey, thanks for the shout-out, Paul.
There you go.
Thanks.
All right, Paul, do you want to start the
mailbag? Yeah, you know, that's fascinating to me that already you're getting people writing in an email. The mailbag's a virtual email bag now. I don't think anybody actually sends a real email in anymore. But you have had some comments, and we've sifted through some of them. And I think it's cool to see the kind of reactions people are getting. And I wonder, at the end of the show, if these are the same sorts of things you're hearing from clients or are something different. Are we reaching a different demographic with different questions, or are we reaching the same group? And you said, oh, I hear these all the time.
So both, and which is really sweet that you say that, because we have two segments today. Half of it's going to be the questions, and then the other half is we wanted to bring some real-life questions that we're getting from clients as well.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah,
right.
Great.
Yeah. Well, let's start with the first one. Let's jump right in. We had a question. Well, I think this is, I hope I'm not saying the name incorrectly, but somebody named Ari, I think that was Ari, wrote a question. Said, my wife and I are looking at getting insurance. What type of insurance do you recommend? Boy, that's a broad question. Depends on what you need, I suppose. But
yeah, and we'd have to identify, too, are you talking about life insurance? Which that question is directed towards that. And at the end of the day, there are no absolutes. As one of my life lessons, as I indicated earlier, but specifically when it comes to insurance or life insurance, there are no absolutes. There are many different types of life insurance. There's term insurance. A term insurance is something that you would normally have for a certain term or period of time.
Because it goes away then at the end, right?
And then it goes away. That's usually the most least expensive way to have insurance, but typically you won't have it on a permanent basis.
And what would you do that for? Like, I typically do it to cover a mortgage or something. If you got in trouble or somebody died and you don't want to have the other remaining spouse have to pay off the house, you'd get mortgage insurance. You'd get other types of insurance that would cover that.
Well, let me answer that with an example. And I do this often. I'll use myself as an example.
Okay.
So for the next 20 or so years, I have a 2.5-year-old. So my need for insurance is higher over the next 20 years, and it will be over the longer period after that. So I've recently revamped all my insurance, and I loaded up on a bunch of term insurance. Mm. So there's enough to pay for her education, to assist my wife, you know, paying off the home, et cetera, et cetera. Beyond that, there is an expectation that, you know, depending on what happens with the estate tax laws and perhaps what happens estate tax, my wife is going to need some sort of survivorship income, as we say. So I also have what's known as permanent insurance. So permanent insurance may be more costly in the beginning, but the way that Letitia and I usually design it is we design it so you pay only for the number of years that you would most likely be working.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a 50-year-old might pay for insurance for the next 15 years until they're 65. And then we design it the best that we can so that it is called or, quote, paid up. So they no longer have to pay premium, but they'll have insurance for the remainder of their life. We call this permanent insurance, and this is one way that we can help to assure, in my case, that my wife will have insurance beyond the period of term insurance.
Mm-hmm. You've had a couple of guests in here recently talking about insurance, and one of them, if I'm not mistaken, said, even among your peers, insurance is not a question that they want to get into very often. That's not one of the top things they're pushing or talking about.
It's not always so sexy to talk about insurance,
yeah.
But the reality is, like you said, it's very important. And if you don't have it, you know, you could potentially be in a really bad situation and not really know what to do. Like, so something happened to you, Bart, and your wife doesn't work, and your child is young. She would be in a bad situation. Yeah. So it's really smart for you to protect her.
We have it happened within the last 2 months. We have a client that is in the 50-year age range. Husband died unexpectedly,
mm-hmm.
and if it was not for the insurance, her life would be a lot different. She is not forced to have to work, and she's going to have a very comfortable life because he took care of that.
And you guys talked about it before on another show. Talk about the tax consequences, the tax advantages of insurance. I think most of us know them, but just to make sure.
Yeah, so I'll break down a couple of ways. So the death benefit, in other words, the amount that gets paid to the survivor, is income tax free. So if it's $1 million policy, if with Tina, my wife, should I pass, she would receive $1 million and pay no income tax.
Which is, by the way, huge.
Yeah. It's like earning about $2 million to receive the $1
million. Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Which is great.
Now, I'm going to parenthetically say that's income tax. Depending on the size of a person's estate,
mm-hmm.
the policy could possibly be taxed at an estate tax level. But in today's current environment, if it's a husband and wife and they have the proper estate planning, that would have to be an estate over about $23 million. So it's a pretty high bar. The second part of the tax component is if one has a permanent life insurance policy, has cash value building on the inside, that cash value can be accessed tax-free as well. So
explain how you would do that. So say something happened and your cash value in 15 years is higher, and say you want to use a part of that to pay for your daughter's college.
Sure.
Show me how that works.
Yeah. So that's something that many times we'll plan for our clients, as you know. So depending on there's two different ways. One, you, of course, can take out your principal or basis,
mm-hmm.
right? That's what you've already paid tax on. That can come out tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
Then beyond that, you actually take a quote-unquote policy loan from your policy to get the remaining cash out.
So you're taking a loan from your own policy?
Correct.
Okay.
Now, the first thing when people usually think loan, interest, that's not really a free loan. Well, the better life insurance policies have been designed so that the interest rate on the loan is anywhere, well, it has to be something, and it's usually about 0.25, or in our world we call it 25 basis points. That's pretty close to what we call a wash loan, really no discernible, you know, cost to it. And that constitutes a loan, and you're able to take the money out. And for those who may question that, think about when you borrow against your house. If you take a second mortgage against your house.
Yeah. I pay a higher rate for that money.
You pay a higher rate. But my point is you get the money out tax-free. So it's the same concept, but just a better loan rate.
Yeah. Maybe you can elaborate a couple other additional features on there. So, for example, if like something happened to you and you needed care at that time, how does that work?
Yeah, so the policies, like anything else, evolves, right? And the financial services, there's been an evolution as well. So most of the new policies, at least the ones that we're using, are much more efficient, much less expensive, and they have additional benefits. One of them that you're referring to that's usually included is called a critical care rider.
Yep.
Meaning, so now you're going along, you do have cash value, and let's just make a hypothetical. Let's say you have $100,000 of cash value in $1 million policy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're in some sort of accident that requires you to have a need for critical care.
So I was in a car accident, and now I need some help.
Correct.
Okay.
So now you have access up to, depending on the policy and the company, but somewhere, it could be the whole $1 million to use during your lifetime. So not just the $100,000 cash value, but the $1 million to use during your life.
For the care.
For the care, right.
That's so important. I love that.
Yeah, I think so.
And that's why I don't think people think of it as a planning tool for your life. They think of it as just something to take care of those you leave behind.
Right.
And that one guy that was in here struck me. He was talking about how Jim Harbaugh, I'm an old U of M grad. I love Jim Harbaugh, the coach. And how he was smart enough to negotiate into his contract some sort of life insurance. I don't really remember how it worked, but he got like $1 million or $1.8 million a year past 65 for life. I mean, that was basically his annuity somehow.
Yeah, so we're gonna do a whole segment on that concept, but that's using the life insurance chassis to create a pension plan.
Never heard of that. Never heard of that.
So corporations have been doing it forever, and we can actually design them for someone at the individual level. In some cases, they're very similar to the type of policies we're talking now, but there are policies specifically designed that focus less on the ultimate death benefit and more on the cash and the income.
And does that money he's going to receive, Jim Harbaugh, the coach of U of M, through this structured insurance program policy, is that tax-free?
It most likely is.
Wow.
So that's pretty great.
I got to call you, Bernd. I got to go through all this stuff. Anybody listening, it should be thinking to themselves, we got to call because this is crazy. There are so many options out that I never hear anybody talk about like this.
Well, which is nice to say that I appreciate that, because just to know that what we're talking about is this is ancillary to what we do. And the nice thing is we have a lot of tools in our toolbox to be able to help our clients big picture in all aspects of their lives. So if they're a business owner, if they're just already retired, or they're up and coming, or an executive, we really have solutions for them and where they are in their life.
And I've said this on the show before, so if this is redundant to a listener, I apologize, but we probably have some new listeners. And I look at life insurance like broccoli. As a person who likes to consider himself healthy, I eat broccoli not because I love the taste or actually not that I like it at all, but because it's good for me. And so in many cases, life insurance has that same fills that same spot. You don't have to like it, but if it's good for you.
It is good for you. Well, I'll tell you what's good for us. Take a break and pay some bills here and get some sponsors happy here. So let's do that and come back, and I'm going to ask you the big $64,000 question looming on everybody's mind. We got more than one person asking you this. You're going to have to put out your crystal ball and play, see into the future here. So we'll do that and more right when we come back right after this.
Great.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. Buy three with triple points on airfare. Buy two with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
We're back. Get everybody's mic up. Hey, this is a question I think about all the time, and I'm glad that others are thinking about it too. You are the financial gurus. You're the ones that are going to peer into the future and help me protect against the ugly, unforeseen things coming at me from every direction. The one I want to know most about is the recession coming?
Tisha, I'll let you start.
Nice. Thank you.
We had Nicole and several other people ask that same question. Is there coming? And if I guess there's two parts of that. Is it coming and what's coming? Little one, big one. What should we look forward to? Anything soon? Because so many people, hey, it's never going to happen. It's never going to rain again. It's just happy days are here forever. And that seems unlikely, no matter what policies or anything. It just seems an unlikely scenario. Forever doesn't seem to be the answer.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So like you said at the beginning, we definitely don't have a crystal ball, so I can't tell you what's going to happen exactly at what specific point in time. But recessions do happen over periods of time, and you look at the history of the markets, they've happened. And we don't specifically have a timeline. So some people talk about that, like, oh, you know, 2008 is the last major recession, and it's another one's coming up because we're, you know, the time, it's the 10-year period. Time has nothing to do with it. It's really what we look at the bottom line is the fundamentals and where the markets and where's earnings and where's the profitability of the companies and how they're doing. And there's a lot of different factors that we look into it. So are we headed to a recession now? No, we're not specifically headed to any recession. Now, is the market a lot more volatile? Yes, it's definitely much more of a volatile time frame. Like Bart references all the time, before maybe we were on a highway, now we're on a country road and are
bumping along. Yeah,
we're bumping along, but we're still bumping along.
Yeah.
So, and all that is true, and I'm thinking, and I had to do a fast recall. So there's two quotes that I think are really great when it comes to like market forecasting, which is to a certain degree what we're attempting to do here, or at least make some sort of a statement. But Jack Bogle from Vanguard fame, he says that something along with it, it's not going to be exactly right, but the reason we have market forecasters or economic forecasters is to make astrology look legitimate.
Compared to astrology.
Right. Nice.
And then the other one, and this one is Warren Buffett, he says, I've never met anyone who can consistently forecast the market or the economy. As a matter of fact, I've never met anyone who has met anyone that can properly forecast.
Yet I would tell you that we have another show on the station here, a Strategic Investor Radio, and it's about an active investment strategy. And they bring on hedge fund managers, mutual fund managers, and many, many of them out there are trying to use mathematics these days, modeling, to look at all the past trends and all these somehow correlated factors and whatnot. And they're all searching for this holy grail of a mathematical algorithm that can predict market cycles, you know, trends and timing.
While we think that there's value to that, and Letitia and I use certain types of managers like that in certain parts of our portfolio, and without being disrespectful, I would ask, hey, how did you perform during the 2007-2008 recession?
Yeah, right.
And if they were good forecasters, they would have done really well. But chances are that's probably not the case.
Yeah.
So
and then again, so you're saying that you have to keep your eye on the fact that there are trends. It doesn't go up forever. Forever is not an answer, even though we want it to be an answer. The market does go through turbulence, ups and downs. Historically, it has. And if the past is any predictor, it will in the future. Mm-hmm. But how big, how fast, and when, you don't worry about it?
It's our job to stay in tune with the trends, but more important is not to be emotional and to not try to forecast the trends, but be prepared for anything. And that's really what Letitia and our firm's specialty is we have a diversified portfolio that can, for the most part, stand the test of time. So even if it's a bad market, we have things specifically in the portfolio that will potentially make money during a bad market time. So what we've done is we've taken the guests off the table. We've taken the emotion off. We just develop a portfolio that can stand the test of time.
How much do you go beyond? It used to be the 60-40 rule, 60 stock, 40 bonds. That was the traditional since my dad started investing in the 60s here. More and more people are looking for alternative answers to that, or they're looking for other so-called non-correlated things. If the market goes up or down, it doesn't follow the same trend. Do you ever look at other sorts of things? Oil and gas leases, I don't know, other sorts of crazy things that aren't connected to the market here.
So I'm going to let Letitia answer, but I'm going to give you a shout-out. I'm pretty impressed with a couple of those terms that are out there. You didn't just fall off the turnip truck, Paul.
I've been listening. I listen to these shows. I learn.
Yeah. So we have an investment committee, and so just like what you're saying, what we do is everyone comes to the table and has independent research, and we also have researching companies that we do and we subscribe to be able to come up with, in analyzing where we think the market is. We also have a CFA on staff that also helps. And so we, together as an investment community, come together and we create our own portfolio and we manage. And so to give you just a blanket answer, we don't do a traditional just 60-40 for our type of clients. Absolutely, we have investments in there that are diversified that we can actually strategically see, okay, where are they, what are their needs, and then how can we customize their portfolio to meet their specific target needs. So we do have investments that are not correlated to the market volatility, just like what you're saying, and that are strategic to what their specific needs are.
Right. Excellent. Okay. Well, I think you should do a whole show on that someday about how you manage money because it really is more, there are more choices than ever and more information being thrown at people than ever before. You know, should I do emerging markets? Should I do oil and gas? Should I be in cryptocurrency? You know, all these other crazy things.
So something to say on that, I definitely want to say that the person's voice that you need to pay attention to is your advisor's voice. You want to know who's managing your money and what their opinion is, because that's important. That's who's managing your money, your whole life savings. And you want to know what their thoughts, their opinion, their direction is on the market and what they think is going on, because that's who's managing your money. You should be hearing from your manager and your wealth manager like us frequently. You should either be getting newsletters, you should be getting phone calls, you should be getting emails, you should be talking to them quarterly, semi-annually, annually, depending on what your comfort level is, but you should be hearing from them. And if you're not hearing from them, then you know you have a problem, and you should be working with someone that at least is reaching out to you, to your comfort level, so you know what their plan is with your money. So then that way everyone's on the same path and you're happy with their results because you know what's going on.
Well, you know, before the Great Recession, I heard from mine all the time. He was giving me free Laker tickets. He was taking me to golf. I heard from him all the time. I just didn't hear about the investments very often until after they crashed. And then he said, hang on.
Well, you know where to find us if you need some help. Yeah, and make sure you're plugging in to our podcast and getting updated information.
That's perfect time. Give us all the places to find out stuff. The Zandbergen Report. Let's spell Zandbergen again for those just tuning in.
Sure. It's Z like zebra, A, N as in Nancy, D as in dog, B as in boy, E-R, G as in girl, E-N, report.
ZandbergenReport.com. All right. And phone numbers or any other places they should find you here?
You guys can find us on social media, so Facebook and LinkedIn professionally, or Instagram for fun. You can also like us on the Zandbergen Report. But like he said in the very beginning, if you like us and you are passing along our podcast to other people, it's really helpful. Right now we're just launching, and we really appreciate all of the extra support we can get right now.
Well, I'm looking for any support I get. I'm looking for free advice and free information from experts like you guys.
Tune in.
All right. Thanks so much. Final thoughts. Did you have a tough question or anything you wanted to ask right here?
Yeah, I'm going to ask a really tough question. What's your guilty pleasure, Letitia?
Oh, see, I knew that.
Oh, I like to go work out and take my kids and hang out at the pool.
All right, I'll take it. All right, thanks so much, everyone, for tuning in. We look forward to being back in the studio next week. Cheers.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting www.bartzandbergen.com. Interested in being a featured guest on our show, or have a question you'd like to hear us answer on the Zandbergen Report? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com.
Zandbergen Report is a production of OC Talk Radio and is provided for educational purposes only. The content of this program and the views of the guests should not be considered as recommendations by OC Talk Radio or investment advice from the host, Bart Zandbergen, or any other entity attached to this production. Investors should always consult qualified financial, investment, tax, or legal professionals prior to investing.